science information than there was 100 years ago or so. And so we have to sift through a lot of it to try to make smart decisions.
And a lot of it is written in a way that the average person has a difficult time, you know, evaluating, of course. It's really no different than it was 400 years ago. You know, Galileo says, hey, guess what? The Earth goes around the sun. And you're sitting there thinking, look, I've watched the sun go across the sky every day of my life. Am I supposed to buy this? And then, you know, 150 years ago, this guy, Charles Darwin, he's saying, you know, you're related to that, I don't know, mollusk over there. But that mollusk doesn't look like you. This is not common sense. And you tend to trust common sense. But that's not what science is about. It's about the facts.
It sounds as though we have to teach ourselves to listen to the facts of science and separate out our emotional reactions, even if that means looking at that mollusk square in the mollusk eyes. Do they have eyes?
You'll have to ask the mollusks.
And saying, I accept you as my great ancestor. Thanks to a team that takes the risk of taking a shower every day, Gary Niederhoff and Barbara Bantz.
Also, thanks to financial support from Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, where researchers study the origin and nature of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to our monthly look at critical thinking, Skeptic Check, the me in measles. If you'd like to hear more Big Picture Science or more Skeptic Check, you'll find it all at our archive on our website, bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer over-the-air radio because very few microbes can hitch a ride on a radio wave, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know you like this show. Oh, and have a comment, a criticism, maybe a suggestion, send it all to us at bigpicturescience@seti.org.
Hi, this is Eliza Gilkison, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn, broadcasting independent music since 1985.
Open Mic Night is a scheduled event which allows folk musicians and or poets to share selections of their work in an allotted time frame. It usually includes a sign-up sheet and occasionally a featured performer. Welcome to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. Today, we are talking to Kenny Lang, and we're talking to Rick Pitts, who represent two local open mic folk clubs. And we're going to learn all about open mic, what it's all about, who performs, how you perform, how do you get started in this, what wonderful things happen, what have you. So, let's go. First on the docket is Rick Pitts. And
hey.
Rick Pitts, you are from East River Folk Society. Tell us about East River Folk Society. History, when did it begin?
1989, it began on Gross Hill. I wasn't there, so you have to take this with a grain of salt.
This is the lore.
Yeah, this is the lore. But it started there, and was East River got its name because from East River Road on Gross Hill.
Okay.
And wow, I never knew that.
Yeah. I always think about East River being in New York.
And it used to take place in St. James, I think it's Episcopal Church, mm-hmm. on East River Road. And my understanding is that it pretty quickly outgrew the room. It was too small. They eventually moved to where they're at now.
How large was the group when it started? The founding members, if you will.
I don't really know. There weren't that many, but like I say, it grew pretty quickly there.
Right.
I know there was George Stewart, Mike Mullen. I'm trying to think of the lady's name. She worked at the recreation department there, and I think she was actually mostly responsible for getting it going.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't it tied in with like an Azalea Festival or something like that? Some flower gig?
You know, that, like I said, that stuff's kind of, I've heard that too, but it's kind of fuzzy there.
Okay.
Not sure.
Right.
Fairy tales.
Okay. Music-wise, how did it start? Was it all folk? Were you restricted to folk? Was it open to other genres of music?
I'm pretty sure in the beginning they mostly acoustic music. Basically folk. I've heard stories of when it shortly after it started, there were already people quitting because they didn't like the direction the music was going. There were more modern forms of music coming in already.
Okay, you know, so
I don't know what they expect when you have an open mic. That's what's going to happen.
Okay. But so rock and roll coming in, or
I suppose like country, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, but instead of the pure folk.
Yeah, you got your purists who just can't put up with that, and so they took their guitar and went home.
Okay. Okay, let's move up now to 2015, and East River is now in a new location.
Well, it's in, I don't know if I'd call it a new location, because I've been going since 96.
Okay.
And it's been there the whole time. This is where they moved to when they moved off of Gross Hill.
Okay.
And that's the First Presbyterian Church, 2250. It is Oak
Street, yeah.
Wyandotte. It's a block off Fort Street.
Okay, all right. And when are the open mics for East River?
They take place the second Saturday of every month from September through June.
Okay.
And then we have a picnic on the second Saturday in August.
Yeah.
At Bishop Park.
That's right.
Okay.
In Wyandotte.
Okay.
It's always fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what kind of performers have you seen over the years? We talked about the acoustic guitar, and what other instruments? What other genres?
All kinds. I remember a bagpipe player, classical guitar players, violins or fiddles, depending on your orientation.
Yeah.
There's been some horns there.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember exactly what kind. There's been kazoos. They show up every once in a while.
Okay, well.
Myself, I bring a harmonica along with my guitar, and then there's mandolins and just upright basses, electric basses. Some used to be a guy there that often had an electric guitar. And he used to sit in with all kinds of people because they considered him to be an accomplished guitar player. So
okay.
A lot of people asked him to sit in.
All right.
He knew five chords instead of just three.
That's right.
Okay, got it.
He was edumacated.
So over the years, we've had a number of different genres and instruments and what have you. Do you think there's been sort of an evolution? Are more people included? Are more people welcome now from the beginning? You mentioned the purists kind of dropped off because it wasn't pure enough.
I think that as long as I've been there, everybody's been welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's been turned away
okay.
or anything like that.
So if I decide to go to...
We might want to draw a line at a full-blown rock band or heavy metal bands. You know, it's not that kind of a setup.
Okay. Just as an aside, I did see an ad for a bar in Detroit someplace, and they do open mic heavy metal. So you may want to consider
see there.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Let's hit that next week. Okay.
Yeah, me and my Martin.
Okay, let's say that I go to East River Folk Society on the second Saturday of the month at 2250 Oak Street in Wyandotte. What do I expect when I get there?
You can expect friendly people.
Okay.
Good music, some snacks, in the kitchen, and a good time. I've always enjoyed it.
Okay.
I met a lot of good people there.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, heard a lot of good music. I will say that the quality of the music is, you know, it's an open mic, so sometimes it's mixed, but generally it's pretty good, enjoyable, and the audiences are always good people, always polite, you know, always welcoming to the performers and rooting for them.
Absolutely, yeah. That makes all the difference. You're not going to go back as a performer if somebody's throwing tomatoes.
The big difference, or one of the big differences there is that, and this may put a little more pressure on a performer, is that the audiences sit there and listen to you.
They listen,
If you're out playing a gig somewhere else, you know, people are out there talking or, you know, laughing and gabbing or whatever. But they're sitting there listening to the music, so it's nice.
One of the things that I noticed when I got on the internet and I took a look and I said, you know, give me the definition for open mic. I know what these things are. I know what they are, but to come up with a defined definition of sorts, they talked about that it's primarily folk, which it is, folk music, and they also talked about poets.
We have, over the years, had a few poets, not a lot. It's mostly music.
Okay.
I don't. Actually, I've done a couple poems myself. Mine are more in a long line of cowboy poems.
Okay. Are these things you've written, or
no?
These are things you found.
Things I've found, mostly humorous.
Okay.
So.
Not sure how much of that lyric. There's a humorous song you do too. So full disclosure, I am a member of East River Folk Society. So I don't want to try to hide that.
That's nothing to be ashamed of.
Not at all. No, I'm very proud to be a member. What do you think was the most, over the years, because you've been involved almost forever, what do you think is the most interesting story over the years, where good or bad, something happened, and the performance was absolutely perfect, or it was absolutely a disaster, a ceiling tile fell, you know, that kind of thing. Any really interesting stories over the years?
We did have a guy in there. I won't name names. I don't think
do
I know his name.
Don't do that.
But he came in there and he did an instrumental version of a song, and then he did a vocal version of the same song.
Okay.
And and Kenny's laughing because he remembers. They were both terrible.
Oh, man. No. No, they would have had to improve to be terrible.
Aw.
But then again, there was that one evening at Rise Again when they were still together. And they were a five-piece band, really, really accomplished musicians. They did a version of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, five-part harmony. Oh my gosh, it was just incredible.
Rise Again, I always thought of them as a wall of sound.
They were very talented musicians.
And sorry they're not still together.
Right.
I miss them. I miss the Unpleasants too. Of course,
yeah.
You weren't there with the Unpleasants.
No, I never got to see them. You
know, they were not unpleasant. They were fun.
Do you think that East River Folk Society is everything it could be at this point? Has it reached some sort of pinnacle of success so far as numbers, musicians, variety of music? Or is there a goal you have to improve?
Well, it needs improvement. Unfortunately, things are not going as well as they have in the past.
Okay.
We've lost a lot of attendance. I think possibly because there are so many open mics in the area now. You can find one just about any night you want.
Right, right.
You know, at different places. Commercial establishments have them a dime a dozen now. So, you know, people, when I started, East River was the only one I knew of. People would come from all over the area to go to it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, why would they drive all that distance when they can pick one up 5-10 minutes from their house or something?
That was something I saw too on the internet, basically talking about, as you said, any day of the week. So if a restaurant or bar is having a slow Tuesday, they start doing open mic on Tuesday, and it brings a whole different crowd into that establishment.
There's a bar 2 minutes from my house that has open mic on Monday nights.
Okay.
I don't go because I don't hang out in bars.
Okay. All right.
So,
what's the best thing about East River? What's the best thing that it brings to the community?
To the community?
Mm-hmm. Or to the people who are there? Or
I mean, to the community, we've done a lot of... unfortunately, we weren't able to last November, but we did a lot of fundraisers for in Wyandotte. We were for, geez, I don't know how many years it was. We did a fundraiser every November for the Wyandotte Goodfellows.
Mm-hmm. And that's the No Child Without a Christmas, yeah. I believe is their slogan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But and for a long time we were doing fundraiser in March too. And, for a while that was going to Fiddlers. Yeah. They were called Fiddlers Restrung then, but that's a school group out in Saline. Mm-hmm. You can judge by their name. They've got a lot of fiddles in there, but they do a lot of old-time country and folk music, and it was a good fit for us. Mm-hmm. And they would come out in for our fundraiser in November and perform. And then in March, we would have a fundraiser and donate some money to them. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the... For the community, that's a good thing.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But for individuals, like, you know, I'd say it's just the music, mm-hmm. and the people you meet, mm-hmm. the opportunity for performers to meet other performers and get together with people and play music with different people.
Have you seen musicians come into East River Folk Society? It's sort of rough, raw maybe is a better word, and then as they practice their performance, you know, that stage presence is all about performing also. So you have somebody who is now an accomplished musician and the stage presence is there. Have you seen some of these performers get polished and move on to bigger things, other things, produce CDs?
I'd say we've had a few. Quite often people leave and we never hear from them again at all.
And hopefully they're doing big things.
Yeah, hopefully, you know. But there's a few of our members right now that are working on CDs. Mm-hmm. Tim Foote's working on one. He's got it done, actually.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be mailing out to Masters or something pretty soon.
You know, he's a regular performer, and we were talking about the whole genre of pure folk and some of the other things that various performers do. He has a niche.
Yeah, well, nobody else does what Tim does, that's for sure.
Talk to his...
Nobody's done what Tim's doing for at least 300 years.
Yeah,
so.
So his music is 1400?
Most of his music is ancient. Mm-hmm. If he could do it all completely incorrect, nobody would know.
This is true, yeah.
In fact, for all I know, he might be doing that.
Yeah, when you cover a 400-year-old song.
Yeah, that's the last time it was on a hit parade.
Right. So. But he does an incredible job with that.
We love to tease the guy about all the capos he uses. He comes up there and he slaps two capos on his guitar at a time. It's the only one I've seen do that in person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I first saw Tim at a thing in Trenton. What was it called?
Oh, the Gathering.
Yeah, the Gathering.
I wondered where we picked him up from.
I thought
it was like on a shrewd trade, you know, with some other open mic night.
I'm afraid that's my fault. I saw him there and I told him about East River and asked him to come on up. So, yeah, he's it's mostly Celtic, mm-hmm. from the British Isles, music from there.
Yeah. Right. good.
And it's not totally unfamiliar because there's been Simon and Garfunkel music that's covered some of his...
Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme.
Mm-hmm. And there's always room for a Dairy Dairy Down Down.
Yeah.
even hit Animal House.
Tim's the historian.
Mm-hmm. Very well versed in his genre.
Yeah.
All righty.
Somebody's got to be, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
And you have an officership with East River Folk Society. You're one of the officers. Tell us a little bit about the structure of East River.
It's just a four-member board. I'm the president.
Or was it four board members?
Yeah. Well, some nights we are. Yeah.
So. Right.
Although they do give us a good deal.
Sure.
And we have to try and keep our equipment going and all that kind of stuff. So
okay.
We've got expenses with mm-hmm. it. Got to keep those up.
What about the mix of music that people write and perform as opposed to doing covers? What kind of mix do you find at East River?
You mean original music?
Original music versus covers, yeah.
Don't really know how to answer that. I mean, I've done a few originals myself, and I wouldn't know what to call them.
Oh no! I'm looking for the mix at East River. If I attend an evening's performance,
so acoustic music,
right? And am I going to hear like half original and half covers, or
oh, I would say it leans a little more towards covers. You do hear originals, people like John Wren.
Mm-hmm.
He does almost exclusively covers.
Yeah.
Originals.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are people like Robert Stark and myself, and well, even Tim Foote has an original.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But
I do quite a few originals.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, Kenny's got. Too. He's got actually. Kenny's got a whole CD of an original. Right?
Actually, working on the third one now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I didn't get around to mentioning Kenny's got CDs too.
Right,
so.
Right.
So it's a mix.
Okay.
They're a mix on any
okay.
night.
So I'm going to go in for an inexpensive evening with nice people, good music,
yeah.
some good food,
mm-hmm.
and I'll leave happy that I spent my night relaxing at East River. Is that fair?
No, I think that's fair.
Yes, okay. Very fair.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back after these important messages.
This is just a reminder for those who haven't signed up for HFC's new alert system. HFC has upgraded the college's alert system, and detailed information has been sent to your Hawkmail account. When received, click on the link and follow the instructions to update your information. You may also visit www.hfcc.edu for more information in the announcement section of the website.
And we're back.
Thanks
so much for listening to Impact on WHFR. This is a pre-recorded show, I'll remind you. And we've had a great discussion with Rick Pitts from the East River Folk Society, one of the open mics in the area that we're talking about today. This has been fun so far. And we briefly just sort of introduced this other guy in the room, but
the
really
worst is yet to come.
Yeah, he's now he's going to fly solo for us. So Kenny Lang, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's cool being here. Thanks.
And I think it was evident to anybody listening that all three of us know each other, and
oh, yeah.
we've been involved with East River at some level.
Yeah.
Now, East River sort of begat another open mic, and this is on the other side of town, so we're talking
yes.
about Warren now. So
mm-hmm.
tell us a little bit about
First Friday. Warren. Mm-hmm. First Friday.
First
yep.
Friday.
So obviously it's the first Friday of every month. So, and unlike East River, where East River takes July and August off, we run 12 months out of the year. And I set it up because all the open mics that I was attending were on the other side of town. So I was driving 25, 35, 45, 50 miles to get to an open mic. And I thought, man, I really need to find someplace on this side of town. So I hooked up with a gentleman named Tom O'Wellen. And he's the pastor of the Scruffy Church in Warren. And originally it was on 9 Mile. And we've since moved to Shaner, right around the corner. And we're in between Shaner, in between 9 and 10. Yeah, 9 and a half in Shaner. And, yeah.
Okay, now, Rick was telling us about the church where East River is held. You have to tell me about Scruffy Church.
Scruffy Church. Well, it's a great name, don't you think?
It
Scruffy
is.
Church, you know.
Well, you don't forget it.
Yeah, that's true. That's
it
very
reminds
true.
Me of George Harrison.
There you go.
Apple Scruffs.
Apple Scruffs. This was a church that they had that they had going. It's a non-denominational come as you are
okay.
type of thing. Like I said, I hooked up with Tom, and I was looking for a place, a venue over on the east side of town, and he generously offered the use of the church, their PA system, their lighting system. It's an incredible system. Tom and I decided we kind of talked this thing out for quite a while before we dove into it. And we decided that we actually wanted to do this. The Scruffy Church does a lot of work with the homeless.
Okay.
They house the McRest people, which is the Macomb County.
McRest.
Yeah, McRest. Thank you. It's the emergency shelter team. They go to various churches, and the churches house the homeless for a week. And, you know, the Scruffy Church was involved with that. So what Tom and I decided to do was that we wanted to do this. We wanted to do this open mic and raise money for the homeless and
okay.
those less fortunate.
Sure.
So that's mm-hmm. what we decided we wanted to do. You know, one thing led to another, and then we started getting things going. And it just took off from there. We've been doing it for almost 4 years over there now. May the first Friday in May will be the fourth anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So what kind of performers do you see in your venue?
Pretty much the same.
Okay.
Pretty much the same. Although we don't really encourage spoken word or poets.
Okay.
Because, you know, we do it more specifically music minded. Okay. We try not to have like people, you know, bring in CDs and sing along with the CDs, because it's really not a karaoke setup.
Right.
You know, it's more of an acoustic thing. We've got a really nice stage set up, but you know, it's more geared for acoustic, you know, and really all types of music. You know, we've had everything from Bob Dylan to, you know, contemporary Christians.
So. Okay, all right. Now, is the church still an open church? It's still a functioning church?
Oh yeah, very definitely.
Okay.
Very definitely. As a matter of fact, with my teaming up with Tom, he kind of talked me into, you know, playing on the worship team at the church.
Oh,
so I'm
okay.
there every Sunday morning
okay.
on the worship team.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So,
all right. So how does I knock at your door because I know it's the first Friday and I'm going to hear some music or some such. So how does my evening go at the for a first Friday?
You just come on in. It's basically the same as East River. Basically the same as East River. We have snacks, you know, that's provided, you know. We don't charge a cover charge.
Okay.
We do set up donation boxes. And like I said, everything that we collect goes strictly for, you know, supporting the McRest program. And by the way, that was Macomb County. Rotating, that was the word I could not think of, rotating emergency shelter team.
Okay.
So, and you know, like I said before, that's, you know, different churches play a part in that. And when we started doing First Friday, Scruffy Church was housing the homeless for 2 weeks out of the year. We've gone from 2 weeks to where we're doing now anywhere from 7 to 9 weeks a year. So
wow.
Thanks to some of the funds that we did raise there,
mm-hmm.
like I said, all proceeds, and I do mean all proceeds, go to, you know, helping out those less fortunate.
Wow. So. About how many people are served by McRest?
Oh, it varies from time to time that they're in. Usually we house the women and the children, and usually in the upwards of 30 to 60 people at one time.
Okay. And this is every night, or do they?
Every night. It goes, they usually come in on a Sunday afternoon, and then they leave the following.
Oh, okay.
Sunday. But they are out during the day trying to find work or doing what they need to be doing.
Is there any sort of assistance with regards to helping with jobs and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I know that McRest has a lot of, there's a lot of volunteers that are working with these folks, trying to train them into different vocational mm-hmm. skills. Mm-hmm. So we at the church, we really don't, you know, and us with First Friday, we really don't take part in that.
Right.
But with what we do is like, you know, we try to raise money.
Right.
You know,
right.
And you know, we've actually put on a couple shows for the folks, which was like really incredible.
Wow. Yeah. Were they there? The people
yes.
who were getting served, they were
yes.
actually there.
Mm-hmm. That's who the show was for.
Wow.
That's kind of an eye yeah. opener, I have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, You hear about homeless, you read about them, but when you go there and you just see a whole room full of these people with their kids, then it just, they're all of a sudden they're human.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, they're just like you,
yeah.
instead
yeah.
of something
yeah.
you read about.
Yeah.
Right.
WHFR ran a homelessness marathon. It was number 17 last month. And that was the 17th and 18th of February. It's amazing because a lot of the people on the show talked about the stereotypes, which is exactly what you just said. I'm not yeah. a person anymore. And yes, they are people. They are little kids. And the misconception that they're all drug addicts, well, they're not. And that they somehow deserved this fate.
Yeah.
And how can you possibly say that about a sweet little two-year-old who is just looking for a meal?
For a while, there was a three-piece band comprised of the homeless
mm-hmm.
guys coming
yeah.
the first Friday and play.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. yeah there two guitar players and a bass player, and I think they had a drummer too.
Yeah. Sometimes
and three
they
of
did.
The guys, three of the guys were involved in the McRest program, so and they came and played. They were awesome.
They're doing
wow.
classic rock.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you do that? Do they carry their instruments with them? Because when you are homeless, everything you have is with you.
All the amplifiers you got there at the church
yeah,
and the drums.
Yeah. So all they had to do was really just bring in the guitars because we, you know, the drums are there for
mm-hmm.
the Sunday service
right.
and stuff like that. Although we do, you know, we do play those down on First Friday because we, you know, it's all set up for the Sunday thing,
right.
so the drums are not a part of you
right.
know, and you know, and this was a kind of a special thing with,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Because three of the guys were involved with McRest that we allowed them to do that. You know.
Any comments from the homeless who were served and basically honored by that concert?
Oh man. They were just thanking us like crazy.
Wow.
I mean, it was just, you know, and we were just doing our thing, really.
Must have been a very emotional night.
It was very cool. We've actually done two nights like that. A year ago, we did a special First Friday for the folks, and I invited several. Rick was one of them, and Robert Stark was there, and Tim was there.
Battered Hat.
And Battered Hat was there. And you know, we just did a small show for them, you know, on a small scale. And this last one that we did, we actually housed the church. Actually housed the McRest folks for 2 weeks straight, and the 2 weeks straight fell on the first Friday, so it was an open first Friday. So we had not only the homeless that we were serving at the church, we had our regular crowd that came in. And then we had all the musicians. We set up a separate stage, separate PA. It was like really awesome.
Wow.
Our pastor and his wife, they had a friend that was a pizza chef, and he came in and used the little kitchen that we've got there and made homemade pizzas.
Oh wow!
And it was incredible.
Wow.
You know, we had people bringing desserts. You know, it was just really awesome. It was
about how many
very
people?
Moving.
I'm sorry.
It was very moving.
About how many people were at that event?
Oh man,
I couldn't tell you. I'm not good at this.
I would say in between all the people that were there, at different given times, I'd say at least 100.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Everybody had to feel great.
Oh man, it was great. And for me, just to see, because I sent out emails, prior to it, saying this is going to be a special First Friday, and everybody that's taken part came out, and it was just incredible.
Wow.
So, I can't thank the performers enough. I can't thank the folks that came out enough.
Sure, sure. It was
very, very cool.
Any of the people who I would like to say had been, past tense, had been served by McGress that you are, they're now hopefully gainfully employed and not homeless any longer. Have you had any stories like that? Any contacts with people who have?
Yeah, there's actually several that go to the Scruffy Church.
Okay.
And one in particular, gentleman's name's Jim. Jim and his brother went through the McRest program, and Jim is now full-time employed at one of the local stores. Mm-hmm. And I'll see him. Sometimes he's got to work on Sunday morning, so I won't see him there. And sometimes he's got to work on the First Friday night. So, but when he's not, he's at church or he's at First Friday, and talking my ear off about the Tigers or something like that,
right.
or country music, because he always tries to stump me with, did you hear about so and so? Or this? So and so passed away. I said, yeah, I heard about that. So. But yeah, there's been several success stories.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now that has to be gratifying.
Very.
Because being part of an open mic organizing body, if you will, Rick is president, you're vice president of East River, and you're the organizer of First Friday, and there's a lot that goes into it. You don't just open up the door and say, okay, come on in with your guitar.
No,
there's a
exactly.
lot to it.
Yeah.
A lot to it.
Yeah.
And that makes
it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Another thing that we did with the church is we do a thing every year called the Shepherd's Toy Shop, which is our pastor's wife, Gretchen, she is in charge of that. And it's set up to where we take donations of new toys, new unwrapped toys, mm-hmm. and we get as many as we can, and we get as many kids coming in that wouldn't have a Christmas, that can't have a Christmas, and they're free to pick out what they want. And it's not just one or two toys. Actually, this year, I believe they got anywhere from 5 to 7 toys apiece. And the target this year was supposed to be like 300, and we actually hit over 400. So, it was pretty incredible. And that's not all First Friday, but quite a bit of it is, because the people that come to First Friday, I always say, come on, if you want to donate a toy, the generosity. And the one thing that I've noticed with musicians is we're not people think, wow, you're a musician, you got CDs out, you got to be making money hand over fist. Well, I got news for you. Money hand over fist, yeah, that's that penny that I keep rolling. No, but I have never met a better group of people, mm-hmm. as far as donating their time, mm-hmm. and their effort and their love of the music.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what cause it is, people come out.
Mm-hmm. It's been proven time after time. You hear all kinds of horrible things about Detroit, and this is one of the most generous communities in the country. And went through some pretty rough times, and we still are, and we're still tough and getting through it and working to help people who have a little less than we have.
Yeah.
Okay, we wax philosophic. With regards to First Friday, let me bounce some of the same questions that I addressed to Rick. What do you think is your most interesting story, or maybe we've already covered that one, with regards to
the
First Friday?
The most interesting has to be the shows we've done for the homeless. Right. It's just been incredible.
Any very interesting instrument or performance? Or he knows, we don't.
Oh, man. Well, we've had one of the reasons we... don't allow poetry anymore, as we had this guy. It was interesting.
Oh, okay.
It was interesting, to say the least. But, you know, he got up there ranting and raving, and I think it was about a 10-minute poem about Halliburton.
Okay.
You know, which, you know, I can't even remember what that was about, okay. let alone care.
Okay.
You know? And it's... a wide variety. We've got this one guy comes up. His name is Otto Harp Bill, and obviously he plays the Otto Harp.
Okay.
And he's there usually every month, and, you know, he gets up there and just gives it his all. And, you know, like East River, like all the other open mics, you know, we have all levels of talent come in, and we encourage that. You know, you've got your novices to you know. Your professionals,
right.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it's really funny, because I've actually noticed that, and like with East River, I've been going to East River for about 9-10 years now, and same with Baseline Folk Society, Dearborn Acoustic, and, you know, a couple others. And I've noticed that there's a certain group of musicians that attend all of these, and we kind of like almost push each other. A little bit. And so I've noticed growth in several musicians.
Okay.
And it's really been cool to watch. Mm-hmm. It's really been cool to be a part of.
Yeah, so. definitely.
I think that was a lint in my belly button growing. I shouldn't have said that.
I don't know where to go from there.
Just shot me right down.
Couldn't help it.
Do you think that First Friday, I mean, oh my gosh, this is such an incredible group, and you're doing such amazing things. Do you think that is there more that you want to do? More help that you want to get out there, or make it bigger, or are you happy where it is?
No, I've thought about this a lot, and I've talked to Tom about this quite a bit too. You know, we would like to be able to do more with it. We'd like to be able to do special shows where we could feature like two or three artists and kind of do like a showcase type of thing.
Okay, all right.
You know, and see where we can take it, see what we can do with it.
Mm-hmm. Anything special coming up?
The first Friday in May will be our 4th anniversary.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's something
but,
special.
You know, that's still a couple months off. But,
sure.
You know, I always look forward to the anniversary shows. I'm kind of like, you know, a structured person. Going, okay, well, I've been doing this for X amount of years.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. Four years and you've helped so many people.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
And there's always more to help.
Mm-hmm. Any kind of crash and burn kind of story, or did I hear that? Was that your poet?
That was pretty much, yeah, that was the poet. We actually had one guy get up there, and because we're at a church, you know, a lot of people sometimes think that, and I would like to say it's not a Christian open mic. Okay, we don't mind if you get up and do, you know, your Christian songs. That's fine. It's cool. You know, we welcome all kinds of music. But, you know, a lot of people think because we're at a church that we have to be strictly a Christian. So we've had people get up and preach. And we had one guy get up, and he was a nervous wreck. So he, you know, went into a prayer trying to chase the demons of stage fright away from him.
That.
Yes, and so that was kind of a crash and burn thing there too, because and then I think the biggest crash and burn, which was really funny because it actually turned into something really cool,
okay,
was for the life at Ghost in the Machine. You know, we came in one night, and the PA is always, and Tom is a perfectionist with the PA, and the PA is always perfect. Well, we came in one night, and for some reason, we couldn't get any sound whatsoever. So we kept trying and trying and trying different things here, there, the other thing. And finally, I just said, look, man, you know, I set up a chair in the middle of the room, and we did the whole night acoustically. And I thought it was one of the best nights we've had because, I mean, I like doing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It kind of returned us to, like, the living room, the old living room feeling, you know, which to me is, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd just be sitting around my basement with a few of my friends picking guitar, you know, and you know, playing, just having fun and enjoying their company.
Mm-hmm.
So
the ghost went away?
Yeah, yeah. After we got done with the night.
You both mentioned at some point that you write some of your own material.
Yes.
You want to talk about that a little bit, and we'll talk to Rick.
Yeah, I've written quite a few of my own songs. I think one of the biggest thrills of my life was one of my heroes, idols, I don't really like using the term idol, but heroes, is a guy named Chris Christopherson. And I actually got to meet Chris down in Kettering, Ohio, which is just outside of Dayton. And I actually got to sit down and talk to him about songwriting.
Really?
And he kind of gave me some tips on, you know, says always write what you know about and what you feel and keep it honest. And so I've written, and I actually like the songs. So, I mean, I figure if I write something and I like it, it can't be too bad.
Right.
I actually heard an interview one time with a guy named Ray Wiley Hubbard, and they asked him, you know, how do you know one of your songs is going to be good? He says, well, he says, I asked myself one question. He says, can I hear myself singing this 25 years from now? He says, if the answer is yes, he says, it's okay. So with most of my songs, there's a few of them I will never, ever, 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 ever do again.
Okay.
But with most of my songs, I can hear myself playing them 25 years from now. I'm working on a new CD, and I kid around with Rick here and with the audience. I say, yeah, release date's probably about 10 years from last Thursday. So I've actually moved that up to 5 years from last Thursday now. So
okay. So as you're writing these songs that are about things you know, what have special moments in your life maybe have inspired you? Or
There's been several. My daughter got married, and she called me one night, and she said, Dad, you are going to play at my wedding. And I said, yeah. I says, yeah, definitely. I says, what song do you want me to do? And she says, I don't know. You haven't written it yet. I'm going, okay. And I'm a firm believer that the songs pretty much write themselves and at their time. The song was finished and completed about an hour and a half before her rehearsal. So there was that song. And then, you know, I've written songs like about my father. My father had given me some words that he had written, and took me over 30 years to put it together, but it finally came together, and that's actually on one of my CDs. And then I lost my father-in-law a couple years ago, and we came back from making all the plans. You know, I actually wrote a song about him too. So it's pretty much all my songs are like pretty personal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So. Did your daughter hear the song at the rehearsal, or did you make her wait until the actual wedding?
No, she had to wait till the actual wedding.
There you go.
Because I wasn't sure of it enough of it for the rehearsal.
Rick, how about you? Tell us some stories of your songs.
My songs? Stories? I don't know.
What about
say
the one
that
you wrote for your granddaughter?
Which one?
The one you wrote for your granddaughter.
Oh,
Yeah.
Megan?
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about it, you know?
It's a great song.
I will say, if I have to write about stuff, I know they're going to be short songs. But,
Okay. He's not one that he's going to say anything about his songs, but I'll tell you about one of his songs.
Okay.
He did a song that he wrote about his dad.
Oh.
Okay, and I heard it at East River, and Battered Hat, who's one of the musicians that come up there, Battered Hat is a talker, and he was talking my ear off that night, and all I heard Rick say was Hank Williams, and he did the song, and I was just listening to the song going, wow, man, I thought I had everything that Hank Williams ever recorded. And so I went up to Rick after the night was over. I said, you know, when did Hank Williams do that song? He said, oh, no, that was my song. I'm going, wow. So, I mean, it was very, very similar to a Hank Williams.
What I said was that Hank Williams' song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, has been described as the saddest song ever written.
Okay.
And that the song I was going to play was the saddest song I'd ever written.
Ah.
Well, see, Battered Hat was talking my ear off, and I didn't hear that part. All I heard was Hank Williams, and I'm going, wow, I don't remember Hank doing that song. You know, but it's an incredible song.
Of course, I haven't written...
This is a song about your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sort of. It's called When She Leaves for Arizona. I wrote it the night I found out my mother was moving to Arizona from Alabama, where my dad is buried. It had been, you know, a few years since he had died, and it still affected me a lot more than I thought it was gonna. So I don't want to talk about that one.
Okay.
Well, what about a good run?
A good long.
Good long run.
Well, that's about my ma. See, why are you only drinking these?
Because they're good songs.
That's that one I wrote after my ma passed.
Okay.
See, it goes back to what I was saying about, you know, it's got to be personal. It's got to be personal. But the first time I went to East River, and it's funny because I went on the website first and found out where it was at, and I remember the first thing I did was I walked up to him. I says, "You got to be Rick Pitts." I said, "I saw your picture, you know, on the website," and I just remember hearing him for the first time, and I've been a fan of his music ever since. I just think that Rick sings a very heartfelt, and there's just it's right there. I mean, it's true, it's honest, and it's from the heart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've been a fan of his for years.
Wow.
And I don't know why.
I knew you were gonna say that.
We talked about how much effort goes into these, I'll call them events. It's a monthly type of an event. It doesn't just happen by itself. As somebody who is part of another folk club that we haven't talked about yet, and that's Dearborn Acoustic. Unfortunately, the leader of the group couldn't be with us at the time of this recording, but I'm also very involved with that one. And this is called Dearborn Acoustic. And the date always fits nicely with the other dates. We're the fourth Saturday of the month, and it takes place at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Dearborn, around Monroe and Michigan Avenue area, 21915 Beach Street in Dearborn. And Tom was a regular performer, and said, we need to have one of these outside of Wyandotte, we need to have one of these in Dearborn. So it was actually birthed from East River. And,
yeah, he told me that.
Yeah, and it's we're pushing 7 years at this point, I believe.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. So it's been a while. And we were talking about different community functions related to the different groups. And we don't really compete with McRust by any stretch. But one of the things that we've done in the past is to have a Toys for Tots at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And we actually had Marines in. We've had some Marines come in, but we actually had Marines in their dress blues this year, and it was, I should say this past year, it was December 6th. That was one of the most exciting things. We had all these guys here. We had a Marine van, if you will, out in the parking lot waiting to take all the toys that people had brought in. We usually do about a table and a half, and we had 2.5 banquet tables filled with all these beautiful toys, and it was just such a beautiful night, such a beautiful moment. And the Marines were very heartfelt about the way they were part of this program, and they were so happy to be there, which was great. They even brought us, I had never seen this before, but there was Toys for Tots swag.
Swag.
We had pens, we had buttons, we had all key fobs, So, and it was all about Toys for Tots. But what a night that was. And I know, I can't imagine how you felt, Kenny, with having your homeless people get as guests for the concert. We were excited about what we did for children we never saw.
Yeah.
East River has some of that with the Wyandotte Goodfellows. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, we know the Fiddlers Restrung, who are the most amazing high schoolers you're ever going to find.
Those guys are incredible.
They are incredible musicians. And the way I always describe it is they're incredible musicians. They come in, they have to maintain a certain grade point average, so they have a high grade point average, and they have to be interested in something other than music. This is one of their rules. So
is there anything other than music?
So these kids who have just given you an incredible instrumental dance singing performance, and they strap on their varsity jackets as they walk out the door. It's just amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. So I'm kind of taking over this whole thing, which I didn't mean to do, but
that's all right. Go for it. knock yourself out. Have fun.
I'm just so excited about the ability of the open mics to do good things. And if you want to talk about that at all, anything further, please do.
Well, I mean, the only thing I can say is it's kind of a satisfying thing to be able to use what's basically a hobby for me, music, which has always meant a lot to me, and to be able to use it to help other people. So it's kind of a satisfying thing.
And Kenny's, you've ready.
Hi.
We're running out of time, but one of the things I wanted to mention, too, is that there is an open mic site out there on the internet, and it's incorrectly spelled. It's open, M-I-K-E. And if you put in your zip code, you will be able to find open mics in your area. You'll be able to find the dates,
open
the times. It's openmic.com.
Org. Openmic.org.
And
actually, East River's on there. First Friday's on there. And Dearborn Acoustics on there also.
Come out and check out some great music.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. Right, definitely. Okay. There's a lot of talent around, man. You know, just come out and check it out. Support live music.
Right. And thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
This has been great. Thank you again for being part of Impact. And Impact is a show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community, and that's what these open mics do. So thank you, Mark Hall, for producing Impact.
And all right, Mark, what a guy. What a guy.
And I will remind you, too, that the views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is a pre-recorded show.
But they were mine, so they're correct.
This is that guy, Mark Hall. We couldn't let Kenny leave without giving us a sample of that upcoming CD he was talking about. So what you're about to hear is Kenny Lang singing a track of his called I Can See Forever in Your Eyes. Please enjoy this as we did.
My name is Kenny Lang. This song called I Can See Forever in Your Eyes. Like an old
ship lost out on the sea. That is how my life would be. You'd not found me. I've spent days that seem like years downhill kind of spin. You turned it all around, made me live again. So many times I just can't see where I am going. Just can't seem to even try. You put my heart at ease, showed me what could be. I can see forever in your eyes. Storm clouds hid the sun. The end was not in sight. The moment I first saw you, your love turned the dark to light. It's been a long traveled road, golden on my own. Gave me hope and comfort, made this boy a home. So many times I just can't see where I am going. Just can't seem to even try. You put my heart at ease, showed me what could be. I can see forever in your eyes. I can see forever in your eyes. I can see forever. I was that old sailing ship lost out on the sea.
I'm Chris Moore on WHFR Dearborn. Thanks for listening.
This is the TED Radio Hour. Each week, groundbreaking TED Talks.
TED Talks.
TED.
TED.
Technology.
Entertainment.
Design.
Design. Is that really what it stands for? I've never known that.
Delivered at TED conferences around the world.
It's the gift of the human imagination.
We've had to believe in impossible things.
The true nature of reality beckons from just beyond.
Those talks, those ideas, adapted for radio. From NPR. I'm Guy Raz. Coming up,
it's easy to get the impression that...